Thank you to all of you. Let me open the floor for questions. Anybody? I actually have a question for you, Dr. Daly. What I heard, I know that we talked about this on the phone a little bit, that there's possibility for application to use the CT scans earlier. So can you talk a little bit about how that could happen, be used in either the investigation when you suspect there might be elder abuse? Did I get that right?
Are you really referring to elder abuse in the living?
In the living.
Yeah, and you're quite correct, because much of what we would expect to see in a decedent is what we would also expect to see in somebody who is still alive. Although clearly there may be a question of degree, because if we find evidence of we're always looking for things like the subdural hematomas, which we saw a very good example of described. We're looking for things like that, and especially if you see that there's maybe you can't explain why this has occurred. We're going to be working more with the gerontologist, and I don't believe that we see perhaps as much of that as we might. Perhaps we haven't really been using imaging as much as we might, but we actually have a consultant who actually works with us on this project, and one of the things we've looked at is starting to address whether there are other applications that we should be pushing out as we work through this project. Should we be using it, certain things like CT in elder cases? That's certainly potential, and I'm sure it does happen. Only it doesn't. It's more that's something we don't see so much in the forensic setting as we'd see in gerontology, perhaps.
I'm visualizing several studies. Okay, now I've got three questions. One, two, three. Okay.
Dr. Daly, maybe it didn't surprise you that an autopsy missed a stage 4 decubitus, but it did surprise me. I can understand not being able to detect bone involvement, but not what led to that.
Well,
did it surprise you, and if so, how is it that an autopsy
was? And that is something I can't honestly explain, because I've got that data, but we haven't actually gone back. We correlated the data and said, hey, this doesn't fit, and we haven't actually gone back to the specific case and addressed it with the medical examiner who was involved, who was one of a team of 15 different medical examiners. So I'm afraid I honestly don't have a good answer for you. In the case that occurred, and I'm sorry I didn't actually include the image, perhaps I should have, what we did notice was that the actual external opening seemed quite small, but there clearly was deep ulceration and there was bone involvement. So it's sometimes we will see infection that's more of what we'd call a sinus tract, which is not like a big open decubitus ulcer, but more of a narrower, deeper process, and it may not occur direct, always as a result of direct pressure. There may be other things going on, such as it might even occur in the setting of infection occurring in the bone and tracking out, and then you end up with this kind of the same effect, but you wouldn't necessarily see a really big, ugly looking decubitus ulcer going all the way down to bone, which is what we would think of the typical decubitus ulcer as being.
I've been asked to repeat the question so that the recorder can pick them up, and that question was, why, could you explain why the stage 4 decubitus ulcer may not have been detected by the autopsy? Okay, so right there, right?
Helping 100%. Okay, basically the question was, has the bruising study helped the DA's office determine if they're going to prosecute or not? Absolutely. I'm really fortunate in the city of Anaheim, we actually have our own prosecutors that handle all of our misdemeanor cases. So I take my misdemeanors to them, which a lot of the bruising wouldn't have significant felony filing quality to take to the DA, which would be separate injuries. But it's completely changed the way in the past 4 years that our prosecution has handled these cases, yes. What we've done is I've taken the studies to them, and I've given them copies of the study, and I've taken them to training and educated them about here's what's indicative of abuse. And then we've been blessed enough to have geriatricians from UCI come in and actually look at the victims, and then, or look at pictures that we've taken out, you know, out in the field. And then they'll write a determination based on medical records as well as the bruising if they feel that this was indicative of abuse. So that's helped. I would say since I've been upstairs in detectives the past four years, we've had like 100% increase in getting cases filed, and all but one we found got a guilty plea. It's just phenomenal what this study has done for us.
How many other agencies, are there a lot of agencies in the nation that know about this study, and who knows about this, because I find it fascinating.
You know what?
The question was, how many other agencies are there that know about this study? How well known is it, the bruising study?
And we'll have to let both Dr. Wigglesworth and myself answer this question. As far as my knowledge is, we put on a lot of training through POST in California. And so we try to get other agencies to come in and then educate them about this. And I know a lot of the physicians are going out and training, and it's been in journals as well. But you're right. We need a better way of disseminating the information.
The first study was published in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and the second study is going to be published the same place. We probably do need to learn more about publishing to law enforcement, but we have the website, the Center on Elder Abuse, and we put our research results there. We speak at conferences. And we are struggling with how do we get this out more. You know, we've talked about, you know, are we going to distribute fact sheets? You know, if you all have any thoughts or suggestions on that. I know that Dr. Mosqueda does a lot more traveling than I do, and she does speak about it whenever she's got a likely audience, and we do. People have heard of us sometimes just because of that. But the world of elder abuse research and prosecution is not as big as it needs to be.